ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto. É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com outra explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica. Até à morte.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast. My name is Alfredo. I'm here with Cristiano Oliveira. Cristiano, diz olá aos senhores e às senhoras.
Olá, senhores e senhores. And once again, I'm glad to be back here on the podcast to talk about our beautiful Benfica, who kicked off their Liga NOS season in a flying manner.
On the other side of the border, the good border, is Dave de Oliveira. How you doing, Dave?
Great to be back on tonight, boys. Like Cristiano said, good way to kick off the season, so let's kick off the podcast.
Absolutely right, and tonight's podcast is number 332. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking back at Benfica's first round of the Liga NOS championship against Passos Ferreira at Estádio Luz this past weekend. We'll also look ahead to Benfica's game against Belenenses. That is the second round this weekend. That's happening at Estádio Jamor. Before we do that, a big shout out to my friend here, Cristiano, whose birthday is today as we record this. Cristiano.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. And thank you to all the listeners who took their beautiful time out of their day to wish me a happy birthday throughout all, you know, all the social media platforms. So much appreciated. And carrega Benfica, pa. Até a próxima.
Yeah, and since
and if you want to send gifts to Cristiano, you can send them to me first. I got to validate all the gifts, and I know he's looking for batteries for his camera. So send them my way, and I'll give them to Cristiano.
Nice one, Dave. that's exactly right. But at least batteries that last, right?
We got plenty of batteries. This is not charged.
So anyway, and since we're on the birthday note also, I wanted to send a special birthday wish to Peggy.
Birthday wish or birthday shout-out? You're not going
to
make his birthday,
wish for him? Birthday wish to Peggy. He's down under. So it's probably, or his birthday has already come and gone. But nonetheless, I wanted him
to
hear
Peggy.
From us. Always a good friend of ours.
Enjoy your day, man. And thank you for being such a wonderful supporter of the podcast.
Absolutely. So let's get into this Passos Ferreira game. Benfica, after trouncing Sporting in the Super Cup, opened up their Liga NOS campaign against Passos Ferreira. I'll give you the lineup real quick. Vlaco Dimos, Tavares, Dias, Ferro, Grimaldo across the back. Samaris and Florentino. Pizzi, Rafa on the wings. And Raul de Tomás and Seferovic up front. Cristiano, one of the big topics of the conversation with Gabriel being hurt. Who is going to be the choice? Samaris or Tarabt or maybe somebody else? Tarap looked like he got the nod.
Tarap got the nod. Would you watch a different game than I watch? Somebody's got the nod. This guy, I don't know. I mean,
I'm super distracted.
He's still thinking about an alternate universe.
Yeah, he's still thinking about Peggy's birthday.
I'm sorry. Somebody's got the nod.
Somebody's got the call. Tarap did not get the start like I hoped he would. But yes, somebody's, you know, played alongside Florentino, as many of us predicted he would. I was, as I said before, I was hoping it would be Tarabt. It was not to be. But Benfica did not start the game off very well. It looked like they were a little bit more nervous than anticipated. You know, when you take in consideration the week before, they had just spanked their, you know, Cross City rivals 5-0. So you thought they'd come into this game with a lot more composure, a lot more calmness in their nerves, but it wasn't to be. They struggled to connect a lot of passes. They struggled to construct the game and build a game to go forward. You know, things weren't as pretty as we hoped they would be. You know, the result, when you look at the final result, it was a magnificent performance, obviously scoring 5 goals opening day of the season. It's nothing to sneeze at, but the performance overall, I think Bruno Lage said it himself in the post-game press conference. He wasn't too thrilled with the way Benfica performed throughout the whole match, but obviously the result, scoring 5 goals, is never easy.
Yeah, look, when you open up at home and you're able to score 5 goals, perhaps is a little bit misleading because, as Cristiano mentioned, Benfica didn't have that great of first half. A lot of sloppy play, a lot of missed passes, especially through the midfield with the Samaris and Florentino combination. And Benfica kind of sees themselves going into the half up to nothing, but we have to give credit to Passos Ferreira, who really came Estádio Luz, didn't look to lock up in defense, and just played almost eye-to-eye with Benfica, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we touched on this on last week's podcast when we had our good friend Steve on with us, which was, you know, does the combination of the Samaris and Florentino, does it offer Benfica much going forward? Because we all know how special and how important of a player Gabriel is in that midfield. He's the link between everything. He makes everything work in that Benfica midfield. And so I know that I've questioned this on numerous times, whether, you know, Florentino has enough. Does he offer enough going forward? The same thing with Samaris. I think defensively, Florentino is absolutely lights out. But there has been that question amongst all of us at one point or another, whether, you know, maybe it's Benfica is better off playing a more offensive player in a Tarap than a Chiquinho, somebody else, maybe moving Pizzi into the middle, playing Chiquinho on the outside. There's other options that Benfica could play on the outside, and there's other options that Benfica could use in the middle to make things move going forward, to create a lot of that space and to create a lot of the ball movement that we're so accustomed to seeing Benfica play under Bruno Lage. So, you know, again, Benfica won the game pretty easily. It was a result that everyone's pretty much pleased with. But again, is Benfica going to go into the Jamor playing against the Bolonense? I know we're getting ahead of time, but is Bruno Lage going to play with two defensive midfielders in the middle once again, or you think he's going to adapt and add a player whose characteristics are more of an attacking player than they are of more of a defensive player like we've seen in those two defensive guys? What do you think?
Yeah, look, I think that we said here last week that it was really up to the team that we're playing what kind of strategy was going to be deployed mm-hmm. by Bruno Lage. Last season, we saw Florentino and Samaris at the end of the season. So maybe he was looking to replicate that. He was looking to pick up on some of the habits those two have picked up while they played together in the final stretch of the season last season. So I really don't blame Lage for trying out that combination.
I don't blame him, but you mentioned something on last week's podcast where you and I specifically went back and forth, which was he hadn't played a minute in the preseason. And now he gets thrown out there into the Sharks, which was kind of, again, I mean.
Well, the preseason that we saw.
Yeah, of course.
Lage also mentioned that there was a lot of games that they played behind closed doors that we did not see. We did not see Samaris play during that. We didn't see other players play during that. So, look, I always going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he works with these players day in and day out. So he's obviously going to know who's going to fit his ideas or who's ready to assimilate his ideas better and his tactical setup better than anyone else. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But I think that, this is what I'm thinking. I know that Tarapt is perhaps the next good option, and I've liked what I've seen from Tarapt in that position. But what about Chiquinho, man? Because Chiquinho is kind of a guy that could go forward from that position also.
Agreed. And look, we all know, anyone that listens to the Benfica podcast knows how big of a Tarap fan I am. But I just made the point 2 minutes ago that maybe you could even put a Chiquinho on the outside. It's Caio Lucas, who wasn't available this weekend. I don't know what the other options will be, because we don't, you know, we've seen in two official games this year, Lage has kind of shifted and called up different guys. But you could put Pizzi in the middle and maybe put Chiquinho on the outside. You know, he doesn't have to be Tarap in the middle alongside Florentino. Pizzi's a guy who has proven over the years at Benfica that he could play that role as well. It just won't be side by side. It'll be kind of, you know, playing in front of the more natural, the old school number six that we grew up on. And it'll be more of an 8-6 rather than two guys playing side by side like we've seen in Gabriel and Samaris, Samaris and Florentino.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're looking at Lage's tactical setup and he sets up the team, you know that he likes to play with two guys side by side. So those two guys have to have the defensive abilities, and I don't think he trusts that Pizzi has that defensive ability. And I'm not saying,
but look, that's in a perfect world. that's in a perfect world. If he's got everybody healthy, he's going to play Gabriel side by side with Florentino. Absolutely. But right now, it's not a perfect world. Right now, Benfica doesn't have a player with the abilities that Gabriel has. So something has to give. Right. You're either going to play with a more defensive guy in the middle who's not going to give you much going forward, or you're going to play with a guy like a PZ in the middle that's going to give you a lot going forward and not that much defensively. But at the end of the day, unfortunately, we don't have a like-for-like substitute for Gabriel on this roster.
You don't have. And the thing is that we don't know if Chiquinho is able to defend as well as Samaris or even as well as Gabriel. We certainly have seen Tarabt in that same position. And we've seen how hard this man is working to make sure that he fills in spaces, he fills in gaps. So that by looking at that, you could tell how hard those two guys have to work. And when you look at Florentino, he obviously has a lung. Samaris is a guy that defends well, but as Cristiano mentioned, you need that second dimension of being able to propel the team into the offensive transition. And we don't feel that Florentino has it right now because he's more of the old school destroyer. And both Cristiano and I were discussing this earlier on in one of our conversations. So you got to have a guy that can transport the ball, that can make the transitions like an 8-to-8 box to box like Gabriel is. And right now we really don't see a guy that's like for Gabriel, as Cristiano mentioned. So who is the best option?
Look, one thing's for sure. I think to play for Bruno Lage and to be one of his, starting 11 midfielders, right? One of the players he decides to start the game with. You have to be a well-rounded player, especially at those two particular positions in the center of the midfield. Two players that are able to attack and defend. As much as I like Tarabt, I'm not sure if that's the guy this early in the season that he's going to entrust to do exactly that. I think he opted with the more secure options, which was let's be a little bit more defensively oriented or disciplined.
Keep team balance.
Absolutely. Just spread the ball around enough. Make sure we stay compact defensively. Make sure we do our duties and our job the way we anticipate, that we anticipate things to go, the way we trained all week. Let's make sure we defend first, because at the end of the day, if you can't score on us, we can't lose. And so I think he opted for the safest safest option, which was to play Samaris alongside Florentino. Now, I think going forward, maybe he learns from this game that the two players side by side do struggle a little bit to move the ball. And maybe this weekend on the road, we might see a different option. I would not be surprised if we do. But again, it doesn't just necessarily have to be Tarabt or Chiquinho. As I mentioned previously, I think PZ has proven that he could play that role if need be, and I think he's also another alternative that Bruno Lage will have this weekend to play in the midfield.
Yeah, it could be. Certainly, I think that we've seen Chiquinho on the right, and we've seen Pizzi on the right. We've also seen Pizzi in the middle in years past. So Pizzi is definitely an alternative, whether he fits or not. But Bruno Lage is definitely going to be giving up something in that middle, whether he plays Samaris, whether he plays Pizzi, whether he plays Tarabt. It's not going to be the Gabriel like-for-like as we mentioned. 2-0 at the half. Benfica comes out. Much better start of the second half. Paso Ferreira had a really good 10-15 minutes in that second half until their red card. That they were right there with Benfica, and they were coming
down
to Benfica's
half. Yeah, they were,
but
Benfica was, sometimes Alfredo, you get on me because I get ahead, and sometimes I rewind things. I want to go back to the first half. I want to still touch on the Tavares goal, which was just strike of brilliance. I mean, you talk about a goal that really came out of nowhere. Wasn't expected at the time. Did not expect that from him. Beautifully placed opposite post, curler around the goalkeeper. What a magnificent goal for to get his first goal on the Benfica squad. And Dave will have a number, a stat on that. He becomes the fourth. Go ahead, Dave. Tell the listeners.
He's one of the four Made in Seychelles players to score in their debut for Benfica. The other three were Feru, Andre Horta, and Nelson Semedo.
Strike a genius. If he keeps putting him in the back of the net, I think Bruno Lage will be very content. He will not be bitching and moaning as much as he was after this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, at this point, I think it's a foregone conclusion that Tavares is here to stay. He's making himself also a viable alternative for Grimaldo, even though he has yet to play on the left. He is a guy that right now, if you look at him and you're thinking Grimaldo leaves sometime, whether it's a winter break or whether it's next June, you're thinking that we're good. We got this Tavares kid, which is a lot better than we could say when we had Yuri. So I think that at this time, everybody's confident in the ability that Tavares had. And when you put him on his natural side, which is the left, then I think that left side is well covered by the folks that or the team that we have. Anyway. Dave, let's go to you, man. What did you think of the game? And you might as well, give us the rest of the stats that you've amassed here.
Yeah, for sure. Just to go back a little bit with your debate between Samaris and Florentino, I said last week that I'd like to see Shaqiru in that spot there in the middle, especially seeing what we saw there in the second half with the chemistry between him, Nuno Tavares, and Pizzi there on the right-hand side. Mind you, that came already when Paso Ferreira already had the red card, but I was impressed what I saw from Shaqiru, so I hope that Bruno Lage gives him more opportunities going forward. In terms of stats, PT with two goals on the game brings his career total at Benfica to 50 goals. And like we said, Nuno Tavares makes his debut and has a goal and two assists. So Benfica starts the season with a 5-0 win. And this was their sixth straight season with opening up the season with a win. And that beats the stretch from 2005. Back until 2013, when we went 9 straight seasons without a win to open up the season, and we went 6 draws and 3 losses. So six years in a row now that we've opened the first game of the season.
Yeah,
with a win.
So second consecutive 5-0 lead, and certainly the Sporting result was a lot more convincing than this was. But still, 5-0 is nothing to sneeze at. Can you say it? Sneeze at 5-0? Nothing to sneeze at. It's definitely look, it builds confidence. Stade de Luz was full. People like to watch goals, regardless of whether there was a sloppy first half or not. Always a good way to start the season with the win. And if you could score more than one goal, why not, right? We'll take it. This goes back to Cristiano and I's when we grew up watching Benfica. This is Paso Ferreira, who has just gotten promoted from the second league. This is perfectly normal for Benfica to host a team that just got promoted from the second league and spank them. This is perfectly normal. I don't find anything abnormal with this.
This is something you and I complained about over the years since we've been doing the podcast together, that we miss Benfica do Milodoro, Benfica que reventava com os mancos todos. And this is one of those games that we anticipate every single year when Benfica plays a team from... that just got promoted from second division. This is exactly what they should be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave, let's get into you could talk about Bruno Lage's league record, and we could segue right into the next game, because there's a connection here between his record and the next game.
Yeah, for sure. So this past weekend was his 20th league game that he's been in charge in Benfica, and he's amassed a record of 19 wins, 1 draw, which happens to be against the team that we're playing up this weekend. But we've also scored 77 goals in those 20 matches, given up 16. So we're averaging about 3.85 goals a game in the league under Bruno Lage. And it's been 13 games where they've scored 4 or more goals since he's taken over in January. So goal and offensive output definitely increased when Bruno Lage took over this club. This game this past Saturday could have been with Rui Vitória in charge last season. This could have been a real nail biter with 1-0 victory, or maybe even a draw to open up the season. But with Bruno Lage in charge, we have that offensive creativity there to go and create chances, and the goals show for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Benfica's against Belenenses will be this Saturday, 7 p.m. local at Estádio Jamor. Last year, as Dave mentioned, it was one of the negative results, if you could call it a tie, a negative result for Bruno Lage with the 2-2 tie against Belenenses at Estádio Luz. This came after Luz had gone to the Dragão and beat Porto. But Dave, what is Belenenses up to so far? They've only played two official games this season, and they have yet to find a win.
Yeah, I have yet to find a win. Struggling to find goals, too, as well. They do have Lika and Kika still up front there to lead their attack from last season. But last season they finished ninth. But they always seem to give us problems. Even this is the sad team that we're talking about. But
that's right.
Our historic record against them is 140 wins, 47 draws, 58 losses. So they're always a team that can give us problems like we've seen in years past. So one good thing is that the grass should be pretty good at the Jamor. It's not winter yet in Portugal, so the pitch should be good enough for us to play and not give us problems like it did last season.
Yeah.
And Belenenses is one of the only team yet to lose to Bruno Lage, correct? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
they drew us.
Yep.
We drew them.
The only ones yet to lose to Bruno Lage. Everyone Benfica has played has beat. Benfica has beaten them on the Bruno Lage, except Belenenses. So Benfica was up 2-0 within five
That's right.
minutes. Dois beat.
Benfica couldn't beat Belenenses last season. They lost under Rui Vitória, and then they tied under Bruno Lage. So perhaps this is the game, and Cristiano, this is quite a big game for Benfica, as all games are for Benfica, but this is a game that Benfica can't be looking past because they have Porto coming up.
Absolutely.
After that. And now that Porto has dropped the 3 points in the first game of the season, and we're already have a 3-point advantage, it would be beautiful to host Porto at Estádio Luz and to go up 6-0.
With an opportunity to go up 6 points.
That's
if Porto doesn't drop another couple of points this weekend. I mean, with the way they've started off the season here, things have been pretty rough for them, losing as Juve sent, losing today in the Champions League, getting knocked out of the Champions League playoffs. And, you know, a lot of that pressure is going to be on their shoulders coming into the second week of the season. So they can still even drop points second week of the season. If he gets an opportunity to go up either, you know, 7-6 at least, 7, maybe even possibly 9 points after three rounds of the Portuguese League, we don't know what happens until they play, but Benfica's going to have, at the very least, a great opportunity to go up 6 if they handle their business against Belenenses. And I do believe that under this coaching staff, with Rui Vitória, I think Benfica will be prepared.
Rui de Vitória?
I mean, I'm sorry. With Bruno Lage. You talk so much about Rui Vitória that's been ingrained in my brain tonight. But, you know, under Bruno Lage, I think Benfica will be prepared. I think they're going to go into the Jamor with that attitude that they want to demolish Belenenses because of what they did to Benfica last year. They have an opportunity to prove to everyone that they're, you know, they're not to be taken lightly, and they want to head into that game at the Stade de Luz against their internal rival, hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah, and let's not forget, people, despite the good preseason that Benfica has had so far, and then this magnificent start of the new season, this is a team that is yet to hit stride, right? So we're probably not going to hit stride for maybe another month or month and a half or so. But nonetheless, you have to feel excited about what your chances are. I wanted to ask you something real quick, Cristiano, and usually it's something that we don't like talking about other teams here on a podcast, but it's something that directly affects Benfica, right? So last year, Benfica went through the same thing that Porto did. They had to play two matches or two rounds of pre-qualifiers in order to make it to the group stage. And there was 40 million at stake that when we looked at it and we spoke about it, it was very important that Benfica got those 40 million. Porto losing to Krasnodar have lost those 40 million. lost important players on a free from their squad, Brahimi Herrera and a couple other guys. How do you feel that? Do you think this Porto, at one point or another, they will implode, or do you feel they will be galvanized by this adversity?
We'll see. That's the million-dollar question. We'll see how good of a coach Sergio Conceição is now. We'll see how they bounce back from such a devastating defeat at home to Krasn, whatever the hell they call a team that had no business. At least on paper, being on the same pitch as Futebol Clube do Porto, and you know, obviously, to everyone's dismay, at least the Portistas, they were embarrassed today. Being knocked out of Champions League competition for these guys is a huge, huge hit to their bank account. And now we'll see what kind of a coach Sergio Conceição really is. I mean, he is the type of coach, as I've said here many times, he's got that fighter attitude, that mentality that is very in your face. And while you're winning, right, you could put up with it. You know, you're winning. It is what it is. Everything's fun in games. It's when you start going through these tough, difficult, you know, moments that you really see how an attitude like that, how that in-your-face mentality really starts to wear thin and people start getting sick and tired of that. So I do think he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders. If he's not able to turn this around and you know, win this weekend and then go into the lose and try to get at least a draw, so like that, it's not week three and they're already 6 points behind Benfica. If Benfica handles their business, things could get ugly real quickly. And, you know, I won't be surprised if this guy – if things start going south, if this guy really gets canned, because we've known, at least in previous years, that, you know, Pinto Costa has no tolerance for this type of stuff. And so, again, we'll see what kind of coach Sergio Conceição is. As a Benfiquista, I hope he falls flat on his face. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I think that, you know, and I was commenting this with Cristiano earlier, that that I actually read this on Twitter, that there was somebody that said, with the sale of João Félix for the amounts that they were, that Benfica was really going to cement themselves a place of dominance in the Portuguese league, because when you get that much money in from a sale, and not that you're going to take all that money, you're just going to buy players. As a matter of fact, I think that Benfica paid for players that were overinflated in terms of the money. But this is really something that is going to solidify how competitive Benfica can become. And Suárez, the CFO for Benfica, I forget what his name is, I think it's a DSO, Domingos Suárez Oliveira, he mentioned in an interview to one of the financial magazines that money was going to help Benfica, and this is something that the guys from Benfica FM discussed last week, that he was that money was going to make Benfica more competitive without having to go buy players or raise players' wages. Which, you know, the guys from Benfica FM also scratched their heads and said, what does this really mean?
I mean, more competitive. I mean, the only way I think myself, along with millions of other Benfiquistas, are going to be content is if, yes, they get more competitive in the Champions League, get out of the group, don't get embarrassed, don't lose 5-0 to the bosses of the world. Because in the Campeonato Português and the Liga NOS, I think with the money from João Félix, without the money from João Félix, Benfica right now is so much better positioned than our direct competition that they're going to be competitive no matter what. I think if Benfica comes out of this, you know, winning the 38 and falling flat on their face in the Champions League, I still think a lot of people would not be extremely excited, because we've done nothing different than what we did last year. It's about progressively getting better and putting yourself in a position to sustain this, you know, this positive run of results, to sustain this, you know, the fact that Benfica's out there winning titles and competing for titles. That's what it's about. As a Benfiquista, you want Benfica to compete on all fronts. It's not just winning the Campeonato Português, which Benfica was going to do with that money from João Félix. Without that money, Benfica's most likely going to compete for the title and take the title anyway. Now, what that does is allow Benfica to keep Ruben Dias for another year, to keep Ferro once these offers start coming in. that's how Benfica will be more competitive if they're able to hold on to their jewels for another year or two rather than having to sell them off, because they just got 120 for a player. That's really, if you combine, if you put it at $40 million, that's three players that Benfica didn't have to sell.
Yeah.
Just in one.
And Benfica renewed another Tavares kid.
And he got promoted.
And this one is a natural right back. And apparently, from what Ebola was reporting, that this kid is going straight to the A team. He's going to be working with the A team. Ebui apparently hurt. Andre Almeida still hurt. So we're not sure what's going on with that right back situation. But it's been a position where Benfica has long, or Benfica fans have longed for a proper right back similar to what Grimaldo can bring. Nothing against Almeida, but as you know, and if you listen to our podcast, Almeida is a polyvalent. He's a master. What, how does it go? Jack of all
Swiss
trades,
master of none.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Kind of like our producer here on the podcast, Bruno, like that.
Dave, What are your thoughts, man, on Benfica becoming more competitive and really distancing themselves from their competitors? We see Sporting's in shambles. Porto is now in a bad spot, especially not being able to collect those $40 million. Do you think that this sell of João Félix is really going to propel Benfica into a different level than where our competitors are?
Yeah, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here and start thinking about our celebration at the end of the season here, because there's still lots of time to go. But the way we've handled our finances in recent past, even with the sale of João Félix, we've got this money banked up here with the sale of our players. And like you've said, you've listed some players, some key players. So Porto's team, where they didn't make a single dime off of the sale of them, and same thing goes with Sporting last season too, with a lot of their players rescinding out of their contracts. Now it's gone through the courts and they didn't get fair market value for those players, but at least they did manage to get some millions into the club. And so I think if anything, Porto might be in more of a hole than Sporting, because Sporting has gotten recovered some of those funds back, where Porto just let these key players walk out on a free transfer. And whether that's on the players or the club, either way, whoever was in charge of managing and having a control over that has to take some of the blame. So in the short term, I think this is going to play out well for Benfica, as long as we're smart with our money and don't start spending it like drunken sailors on these young German strikers, young Canadian strikers, and overinflating their prices. We've got to be smart with our money, pay off the debt, hold on to these young gems, like Cristiano said, and give them the salary increases rather than going out and spending them out on these young kids like we used to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's all we got. You want to say something else?
No, man. I mean,
Dave,
can you see
what Benfica has got left for August?
I still have a couple things to say about this weekend's game against Pass Ferreira. It was good to see.
Yeah, but it was good
to see Chiquinho come on and play well. It was good to see Vinicius get his first minutes in a Benfica uniform and get on the score sheet. So, you know, all positive results. I think by that time, the game is already out of hand. Pass Ferreira playing down to 10 men. But still, it's still good to see these guys make their debut at home. Unhappy as a Tarabista, not to see my boy Tarab play. But, you know, still nonetheless excited for the other youngsters who got in there, the other new players who got in there and got to feel what it is to wear a Benfica shirt at home in front of that fantastic crowd. And then, you know, get the all-important goal to get the monkey off their back. The only negative, I would say, was, you know, Raul de Tomas didn't get on a score sheet. Would like to see him get a goal early, and just to see him as well lift that monkey off his back and hopefully get him a little, you know, breathing a little bit easier going forward.
Yeah.
You know, and Samadis could have easily left that one pass off to him rather than trying to take it himself, give it over to our RDT, get him a nice tap in to get his first goal, get the monkey off his back. But Well, can't complain.
I mean, as long as he doesn't miss as many as Seferovic. I mean, he missed one this weekend that I was like, holy cow, what the hell was that?
He does that every week.
He tried the first time with the right foot. Yeah, instead
with his weak foot.
Well, instead of taking a touch, bringing it back to his, you know, foot he's most comfortable with and then placing it. It is what it is, man. Look, it's the beginning of the season. It's early on. And if he's going to miss, let him miss in a game that's out of hand like this, a game that Benfica easily winds up winning in a 5-0 matter. Hopefully... you know, he gets, as you guys have mentioned, David loves Sferovic, but he also has the stats on how he misses 7 out of 10, or whatever the hell it is. But he's going to get those misses. Let him get them out the way. So like that, when the game's on the line and we need a goal, hopefully he comes through for us.
Yeah, it was good to see Jota also because, as been reported in the media, and it's a lot more quieter from what I've heard. That there's some impasse in regards to Jota's renewal. So it's good that he's getting playing time because that means that Lage believes in him and obviously Jota is going to think that I do have a spot in this team. He's obviously getting minutes over Servi, who has been rumored to be going to South America or there's even some interest in Europe for Servi. But it's good to see Jota getting the minutes because we need him engaged because the last thing we want is to lose Jota because we all know that Jota at his age level is a game changer. So we're hoping that he could develop and continue playing for Benfica and we see him for at least another year or a couple more years with the Benfica jersey. So. What do we have left in August, Dave? We got the Bolense, we got Porto.
And then that's it because the Braga game is already September 1st. So it's just those two games to finish up August. And then I don't know if it was mentioned with Porto losing today. Benfica secured their spot in pot two for the Champions League draw coming up at the end of August here.
It was not mentioned, but yes, Benfica did secure a spot in pot two. So that's good news for Benfica because that kind of steers Benfica away from some of the sharks that could be found in pot two. And Dave, you actually sent an email. And these are some of the guys that are going to be in pot two that Benfica is going to avoid. Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Dortmund, Napoli, Shakhtar, Tottenham, Ajax, if Ajax goes forward, and then Benfica, which is already clinched. So there's no reason to believe that Ajax is not going to go past. So Benfica will at least avoid those teams. As I mentioned, Real Madrid, Atletico, Dortmund, Napoli, Donetsk, and Hotspur, and Ajax. In pot one, already defined, Barcelona, Munich, Juventus, Manchester City, PSG, Liverpool, Chelsea, and Zenit. Zenit at pot one, Cristiano. I did not know that.
That goes to show you how shit the Portuguese league has been, how they've fallen down the coefficiency. And it's for Portuguese football. I know a lot of you guys are debating or questioning me on Twitter, but I'll share with you, Alfredo, what I said on Twitter, that as a Benfiquista, I'm ecstatic, basically, you know, to summarize it. As a Benfiquista, I'm ecstatic that Porto obviously gets knocked out of the Champions League, but as a Portuguese football fan, it's a devastating day. Because when you're looking at one of the two big teams in Portugal and they're losing to the Krasnodar or whatever the hell their names are from Russia, it's a sad day. So, but again, the 40 million now being injected into their bank accounts, fantastic to see.
Porto was looking for that Champions League money and Krasnodar.
Is that Spanish?
Krasnodar.
Is that Spanish?
No, it's just Portuguese with a Russian accent.
Krasnodar. You know what competition? They just...
Europa League.
I'm not even going
to
get into
Look,
it.
Look, I hate to...
yeah, it is
to
what it
kind
is.
Of kick, kick people when they're down, especially because we haven't started our campaign. So I hate that karma sometimes that has a way of coming around. So, look, it is what it is. Anyway, let's wrap this up. Next week we'll be back. We'll recap the Bolonese game. We'll look ahead to the Clásico, the first Clásico of the season against Porto at Estádio da Luz. That's pretty much it. Don't forget to check out our friends over at Planet Benfica That's EO.UK. I haven't mentioned their name. They're still around, even though they're traveling the globe. But Dave is in charge of that. Not this Dave. Not another Dave. Anyway, our friends over at Planet Benfica. Anyway, thank you very much for checking us out. You could find us on Twitter at Benfica Podcast. Also on Instagram, Benfica_podcast is where you can find us. Go over there and follow us. Cristiano will be posting some pictures as well as our producer. Cristiano could be found on Twitter at 10CO10, Dave at 87DO87, and me at Talking to the Doll with the Bean DA. Thanks, everybody. BenficaPodcast.com. Don't forget to check out Benfica Independent, Benfica FM, Brinco do Batista, all that good stuff. Take care.